Well, Blur, welcome to Absolute Radio. It's an honour for me to have you here because you are my favourite band of all time. You're the band that I've seen the most in my life,
Blimey.
Which is an amazing thing. I feel like that lad who films himself chasing trains. I'm elated and scared at the same time. How does it feel to be back? You guys are back. How does it feel?
That's a big one.
It's a big one.
Well, it's a process, isn't it? It's quite a long, quite a lengthy process.
It's a lengthy process.
Yeah, very exciting to be out.
It is what cryogenics
about to be out
you
on
mean,
the road,
getting warmed up again, and yeah. it is a lengthy process.
But I mean, like, you know, you can never step in the same river twice. So
yeah,
I think that applies to all things.
Does it feel new and exciting, this era of Blur?
Actually, it sure. does. It does because we've made a great record.
Yeah.
If you want to give me, you know, my adjectives.
Yeah, no. Well,
I'll just go agree with you.
Well, I mean, you've got some big gigs at Wembley coming up, which we're going to talk about very, very shortly. But I mean, I love the choice of the warm-up venues that you guys have picked: Eastbourne Winter Gardens, Wolverhampton, the Halls, Newcastle City Hall. But the one that is near me in Leon C in Essex is Colchester Arts Centre.
There you go. You're from Essex.
I'm an Essex boy. I'm down the road. So, and that is a venue that has a special place in your heart. As a band?
Well, I mean, I suppose Graham and myself, that was kind of one of our first kind of sort of musical adventures, really, wasn't it? Going to the jazz club on a Thursday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was a jazz club every week we attended.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
And just sit there and watch a bit of jazz. And...
Yeah, it was brilliant. I mean, how old were we? I can't remember exactly how old we were.
15 or 16.
15, but we were definitely kind of... It was opportunity to have a drink as well.
Yeah.
And smoke. And listen to jazz.
Yeah. That's cool. Was that part of the thought process when you picked Colchester, you wanted to go? Because those venues remind me of some of the venues that Blur would have played back in the early days a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like university refectories,
no,
that kind
I
of
mean,
thing. Do you know what I mean?
We never played there.
We've all separately done gigs.
We've all separately.
Yeah. Together, possibly Dave and I.
Yeah, Graham and
in
I.
In the same band,
that's
maybe.
Where I first met you, actually, Damon. And you played there with some guy in a hat.
Some guy in a hat. I was called Circus, and I had kind of 80s hair gel, spiky hair.
Great.
A pair of goggles that could be best described as a red and green lens steampunk.
Steampunk.
I know.
Probably even before
a terrible
the term
combination.
Was coined.
And I remember coming on and, Graham, what did I say?
Wake up very loudly.
Yeah, making everybody in the room incredibly awkward.
Yep.
And then to make it even more so, I came down into the audience, which wasn't many, and people were like turning their back and like, reversing from me.
Sounds terrifying.
It was a complete disaster. So that's the last time I played there.
Anybody who bought my recent memoir will see a photograph of me perched upon the wall, straight right outside this establishment.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we all went there. There was the indie discos. It was a great mixing pot of tribes, Colchester. You know,
it's where
New Model Army people, the Goths, the punks.
Yeah, the Goth tribe.
You know,
I mean, that's where we interacted
we had
with
to
the
avoid
Goths.
The
yeah,
there
was
a graveyard.
It was an interchange with the Goths.
So we'd watch the New Model Army fans dancing in their clogs, and then when their music had finished, they put the Smiths on, and then the softer people would have a dance.
And there was also there was also a kind of extra jeopardy because Colchester is a famous military jail.
Oh, right.
So when people had done their time, they go into town, obviously, and get drunk, and sometimes people would come there, and if you were in the kind of sort of firing line, it wasn't very pretty.
Yeah. Sounds a bit tasty.
Which I was on one occasion, but...
You
know.
Have to choose your pubs wisely, and...
Yeah.
And just wherever
the MPs
were,
dangerous.
That's where you didn't go.
Because people were really pissed off.
Yeah, because, I mean, we go to Colchester quite a bit. We've only been in Leon C, like, 4 or 5 years, but I love Colchester. Something about it I kind of really like, but...
Oh, so you're not from Essex then?
No, I was from Devon.
How can you say you're from Essex? I asked you if you're from Essex.
I believe with me. Essex. I'm an ambassador for Essex.
You like Essex. Came
from I love Essex.
Where are you from in Devon?
From Brixham, near Torquay.
Oh, lovely.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So I'll amend that on my LinkedIn profile. I won't say I'm from Essex anymore. But can
speaking of someone who's not from Colchester at all,
yes.
it does feel like a really good place to kick things off, actually.
Yeah.
You know, your past is always there. You can't change it. But I think it's interesting to kind of revisit it. And it was just it was lovely, actually. We walked up here down Brewer Street, where right where it all started.
Yeah.
Food Records, number 76.
Crown Pub.
And the Crown Pub. And
so there's lovely memories that are kind of...
and I think we probably all would have been... Well, I was just really excited about playing the songs again. And I didn't really have any inkling that we'd be making any... new music, but that sort of like completely changed the perspective of this whole kind of getting back together again, and sort of puts a whole new sheen on our past.
Yeah, well, I mean, did you take it all in at the time? Just one final thing on that. You know, because sometimes people will go through an amazing career like you guys have had and maybe not had a chance to stop and take in what you've achieved, because you've achieved some amazing things and you've got great stuff still to come. But did you feel like you enjoyed it at the time and you took it in properly in those kind of the early days of the band or not?
The aftershock of any big experience is far better understood latterly.
I don't know about you, I don't tend to spend much time looking back. You know, people just say, do you miss those days? But you kind of miss Father Christmas coming when you're driving down your hill.
You've done way more Britpop documentaries than I have.
Just now a drink.
I wondered how long that was going to take.
How did the idea of getting back together come about? Was it like a chance meeting, or is there a Blur? Is there a Blur WhatsApp group?
When we actually split up, it didn't take this long to get it together. I mean, for goodness sake, it's been 2015.
Split up is another ridiculous. It's like we're just form. Middle-aged men who have living our lives and have this amazing shared history, and you know, if we were going to come out again as a band, I think it was really important that we kind of rediscovered each other. And you know, the lovely thing about knowing people like Dave, Graham and Alex for so long is that it's, you know, that there's so much shared experience that it's, you know, it's a pleasure. At the moment, it's a pleasure.
Do you have a band WhatsApp group? Sorry to push the point. You must have a band. Come on, you must have. Surely. Like
we tried that about 3 years ago.
I don't have a phone, so that's never going to work with me in the WhatsApp group.
You don't have a phone?
I don't have a phone, no.
Is that like, how long have you not had a phone for?
Quite a while.
I've tried going off-grid a little bit like that. Is it good? Does it feel good? Like not.
You haven't had a phone since phones. For how long?
I've never really been a committed phone user, to be fair.
That's fair enough. So you're a landline kind of guy.
Well, I mean, I was kind of terrified of the landline because I didn't know who was at the other end.
That's fair enough. That's good. It's liberating not to have to carry one around. Well, let's talk about Wembley. The gig sold out incredibly quickly. Were you nervous kind of signing back up to do the Wembley gigs? There was any trepidation in terms of ahead of them going on sale?
Not really.
No?
I was a bit scared.
Were you a little bit scared?
I mean, yeah, you've got to be a little bit. Because it's a bit like the dream when you go to school and you're in your
there's that
pajamas. I mean, you might be all a bit like, yeah, it's a big place.
Yeah.
And of course, it did sell out really so fast. It was amazing.
It was unbelievable.
You never really know, like, whether anyone still cares until you actually put a show on sale. And I mean, I was like flabbergasted that it sold out so quickly. And I did, you know. So we put another night on it.
Yeah, because you're all kind of quite private guys, and you're not like constantly like soundbitey out there in the media all the time. So do you know what I mean? You're quite private. So you've not kind of been whipping people up for ages with the idea of whether you're going to get back together. So it was amazing. It was brilliant. It was heartwarming to see how, you know, quickly it sold out. It must be an amazing feeling.
The most interesting thing is that we've made another record.
Yes.
Because we obviously have that shared nostalgia with a lot of people. But for us to kind of come into this 2023 way, and a lot has changed.
Yeah.
Since we started, you know, the whole language that I used in those songs is weird because it kind of, it was very odd back then, some of it, but now the kind of sort of more obtruse things are kind of manifest in a weird way. So, I don't know, we needed to connect that to music now and make a record that felt true.
Well, let's talk about it. The new record, The Ballad of Darren, is fantastic. And it kind of, for me, felt like social commentary. You know, the way the modern life is rubbish was talking about Britain of that era. Is it a social commentary on where we're at now? Because it must be an unusual situation to write about the world.
I mean, it's a window to look out of, or a mirror to look into.
And was it a long time? Are these songs that you've had for a while, or was it like the writing process kind of like... short and prolific, do you know what I mean? Like explosive, like a lot of songs came quite quickly.
That's another whole conversation, really. But I mean, I think making it together started in January, and here we are now.
And the album cover is gorgeous as well. It looks like a proper iconic Blur album cover. And beautiful. Where is that? A Lido from? Is it
somewhere up in Scotland?
Yeah, it's in Glasgow.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
It's where it's very close to where all our nuclear submarines are.
It's in a handy location.
My daughter's friend swims there every day.
Really? It looks amazing.
And we played near there. We in 1996 we played pier end theatres around the whole of the UK, and we played just close to there in a place called Dunoon, which was a really haunting place because, you know, early in the morning, there was a submarine kind of half submerged in mist, silently making its way out into the abyss.
Like a Tom Clancy novel or something like that.
Hopefully something slightly more elevated than that.
Sorry,
but nonetheless, I know people like it.
And then when you write, Damon, obviously a prolific songwriter, do you write with Blur or Gorillaz in mind, or no. Do you write a song and think that sounds like a Blur song?
I just write songs. That's it.
Simple as.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Alex, I saw that you tweeted a video of you playing along to This Is a Low.
Bit of practice.
Yeah. Did the songs come back to you? I'm speaking to all you guys now. Did it come back to you, or do you have to learn? And
It's
what cut I was to yesterday.
The thing is, we spent so many years playing together for hours and hours every day. We were really lucky to kind of learn actually a craft. It's a really precious thing that we've got, the four of us, when we played together.
There was no other way to do it, really. No pun intended.
Well, you were allowed to in those days as well. You were allowed to develop as a guitar player or a bass player and develop a touch or style.
Yep.
And all of us bed in our skills that we have, or very little skills I had, but then learning all the time, and that becomes a kind of a weirdly idiosyncratic way in which you play, and the four of us play together.
We have our own DNA, clearly. I mean, you're never aware of it yourselves, but obviously there's something.
But you're an amazing live band.
Wouldn't be here
as well.
Otherwise. You know what I mean?
The only way you can get there is by doing it for years, and it's a different sound from anything else, you know? Like, people who've been playing together for years and years and years. But new
with the odd hiatus.
Yeah, but I think that's good as well, because we all go off and down our rabbit holes and then pop back up with a new fresh carrot.
Indeed.
The thing that kind of comes back quickly is like the pocket that we all play in, like the DNA thing comes back at the end of day one, really, doesn't it? But the songs have to be forced in.
I still miss the old chorus.
That's just graft.
Because you must get gig tight when you're touring, obviously, so you don't like have to rehearse too much. How have the rehearsals been? Like, are you rehearsing in like a little small
exhausting
thing? Is it exhausting?
Yeah, exhausting. But for some of us, well, all of us, we don't live anywhere near where we're
rehearsing. Nobody lives near there.
We've picked the rehearsal studio. The most
traffic
to get to for all
in
of
our fair capital is, to say the least, a little erratic.
It is.
But we've covered a lot of songs as well. I mean,
I was going to ask, how on earth do you put a set list?
I've been cycling a lot there and that, but it's doing that and then doing a set. And then cycling back is exhausting.
Out of puff. I've got my little
Brompton. Not out of puff.
Yeah.
You got a Brompton.
I've got a Brompton just out there.
I was a Brompton guy.
You got a Brompton, Damon? Would you ever get a foldy bike?
No. I'm just no gears, simple.
Fixed gear thing.
Very basic.
I love a Brompton.
Nothing fancy at all.
And then will you guys, sometimes bands will rehearse somewhere that's got like, it's like a practice stadium to get the sound. will you guys be doing that? I'm sure our band told me about that.
Never heard of that.
I think, what's
the address?
Pre-production.
I think Kings of Leon, when I interviewed them ages ago, and they were playing in a place to rehearse for a tour, which had the room sound of a big venue.
They were on fire, weren't they?
Literally on fire.
Next Tuesday. Well, you Breaking have to news. Have everything set up, say your live guy and your monitor guy and everybody who's actually working. There's so many people working on our live shows.
That sort of thing is much more necessary for the people you're working with than for us.
Yeah, all right, so then get the production correct. And how'd you go about it?
We are playing a 400 capacity cubicle on Friday.
I wouldn't call it a cubicle. It's a church.
I once went up onto the top of the turret where Humpty Dumpty once sat.
Really?
Yes, I mean, that's like basically the most famous building in Colchester.
I didn't even know that.
Humpty Dumpty legend comes from. Yeah, that's one of the few things.
Come and worship the Lord in my cubicle.
So I didn't realise it's a church.
It's a church.
Yeah,
from
he
graveyard.
Wasn't a big egg.
Wow. hence the its affiliation to the Goth tribe.
Oh, okay, nice.
How do you guys pick a set list for the Wembley gigs?
We have to get someone else to do it.
How on earth?
Yeah, we let somebody else. We give someone a job to do it.
You outsource your set list.
All of that, everything.
Really?
Mm. Of course.
And then we all bribe.
It's just too many.
His idea of what the perfect set is, Graham's idea. Dave's generally quite pragmatic, but he's the drummer.
he's the all-rounder.
And, we all have to...
you must have to trust that person.
We do trust the lovely man who does it for us. His name is Stuart Lowbridge.
Okay.
There are others, so that will already be problematic, just name-checking him. But he's been with us as part of our bigger family since we played Dudley JB's back in 1990.
Yeah. Oh, wow, okay. So I was going to ask whether you'd got people...
A lot of our crew go back well over 20, 25 years.
Oh, wow.
And we've just kept everybody kind of together as much as you can.
Because the first time I saw you guys was the roller coaster tour.
Wow.
With My Bloody Valentine Dinosaur Jr.
So you saw reverse life of the cow.
Yeah, where it goes... That.
You remember
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're going to bring that back.
Oh, amazing.
At Wembley.
That is so good. We talked about that all the way home on the train. It's like a reverse food chain.
Yeah.
Amazing.
They were such happy... That was such happy days. I remember playing in Newcastle and going 10-pin bowling with William Reid and
you've spent two nights in... Soho, haven't you? And look at you. What's happened to you? You'll be going down the Grouch home later.
Graham, I believe you to be one of the greatest guitarists this country's ever produced, and I mean that, along with Johnny Marr, John Squire. I think you're fantastic. The new album...
Now it doesn't mean quite as much.
Come on,
no,
Graham.
They're all fantastic.
in the new album, you have a kind of... I feel like you've changed your sound in an amazing way, but it's like quite a refined approach to guitaring rather than... I mean, there was a quote from you about sometimes a riff doesn't do the job, but it's a different approach.
There's a lot of music and a lot of chords, and it's very riff-resistant music, I found. It was very difficult to get a sort of riffage in there.
Riffage.
Like Song 2 or something like that. So I approached it... I mean, I just wanted to follow the chords and let those chords be voiced in such a way as the best that could be done on the guitar. And also, you know, I'm not, never really have been a sort of a noise nick as such, even though that's what people think that they're getting if they want Graham Coxon-y guitar sounds, but that's not what I've always liked. So I wanted to explore a different sort of guitars and their capabilities and what that meant with sound, but really make more beautiful sounds.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you want to make a horrible sound that's raw, and there are those sounds on there as well, then it's got to sit against what else is there. Well, you know.
Have you got less pedals than you had back in the day?
I hate
too many pedals.
I wish I didn't have to use them. I wish I could just have a, you know, just have a great weekend with Fiona and Les Paul and be done with it all. But life isn't like that because, you know, I do love to... I don't play the guitar like a guitarist. I use the guitar to make the sounds that I want to make.
Yeah.
And the guitar is was the nearest thing.
It's like Edge, a bit like Edge World, the way that Edge the Edge refers to it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're on very, very...
Very, sorry. Yeah. Note to self, do not mention the Edge in front of Graham.
Not as an individual. It's nothing, it's just...
Edge, the Edge. I thought you were talking about a film. Edge World.
Like Water World. With
yeah,
Graham
Ring World.
Ringworm.
if say Blur was divided into different eras, okay, so you had like kind of
You've already written this, so spit it out.
Say kind of like on the edge blur, like, you know, Plymouth Pavilions, you know, Leisure era, that kind of crazy resurgent Blur, Modern Life is Rubbish, chart storming Blur with The Great Escape. What kind of era Blur are we got now?
Part Life Hours, which was
Part Life is
Imperial
Blur.
Imperious
Blur. What kind of era Blur do you think we've got at the moment?
These the rock gentleman years.
It could be.
I think it's I like that. Completely new.
I'm not interested in that one.
Although there is echoes and little moments that I think listeners will, if they know Blur well, will recognise from very early days. I think there are still traces of it there.
And will you be a bit nervous before you go on stage at Wembley, do you think?
No.
Nope. He's not having it. Damon's not having it at all.
I might be.
Alex, you are...
I probably will be, absolutely.
Now he said that.
I kind of, you know, I it's about the music, really, than anything else. So that means there shouldn't be any ego in it, and the ego is the only thing that's going to make you nervous. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get it.
What tends to happen at those big shows is that you walk on and go, oh, well, this is huge. And then if you've done your job right, you walk off and you've shrunk it, and it just feels like...
Yeah,
that's quite a lot of shrinkage.
it's a big
reminds me of a leather jacket I bought. I really loved, but it was a maroon colour, which, you know, wasn't. I wanted to dye it black, and I got the dye up in the shop. I was told would work with leather, but the process I tried turned it into something for the size of a 1 year old from a proper jacket leather. I never thought that was even possible.
Like a little toddler's
coat. You didn't put it in the
toddler's
oven,
version of the same jacket. Dyed, perfect.
Yeah.
But you just, you get into a zone, don't you? There's more people listening to this than there will be...
No,
when you're doing big gigs, you know, there's more people listening to this than there will be listening to Wembley, but this just feels like we're having a chat.
I'd do a better job of playing at Wembley than dyeing my jacket.
And I mean, I remember I had a CD back in the day, which was you guys live in Japan, and they went absolutely crazy for you over there. Are there any? Because you did an amazing tour as well as part of this, playing in some cool locations.
Do too much and kind of sort of over egg it.
It's just about 12 shows, and it's not. Really
no, it's not crazy. But you're playing in some good locations.
More than that, Alex, you're kidding yourself. If it's just 12, it's...
What? You told me it was 12, Alex.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's more than that, I'm sorry. I'm not sure.
Fair enough.
Really I'm just
telling you. I just don't think it's 12. I think it's more than that. We're playing South America. We're playing Japan. Playing Europe.
It's like four in South America, two in Japan. It's probably more than 12, but less than 20.
It's a manageable amount.
Well, we'll see about that.
We'll see about that, guys. So then, on the eve of this new era, what would you want Blur fans to feel when they listen to the new record, which is a fantastic thing? It's an amazing record. What would you like for them to take away from listening to that record?
Well, that they feel our pain.
And what can people who are lucky enough to have got tickets for Wembley expect in terms of a show from you guys, even though you have outsourced your set list to that guy?
An extraordinary, kaleidoscopic, amazing journey through the last 34 years.
I love that. Well, listen...
I think it's like a reinterpretation of all of Blur's music with a small chamber orchestra.
Sounds more like a West End show than a gig.
Starlight Express. Well, listen, it's amazing to have you back. Appreciate you chatting to Absolute Radio. Blur, thank you so much.
Cheers, Bush.
Cheers. Okay. Thank you.
This Father's Day, when you ship UPS Air at the UPS store, your items arrive on time or your money back. Guaranteed at no extra cost.
It's like the father of all shipping services. It shows up to the airport way too early just to play it safe. It's overprotective about all the things that truly matter. And it's always prompt, especially to be with family. Make it your first choice to celebrate your dad. Ship UPS Air with our money-back guarantee. Exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Visit theupsstore.com/airshipping for full details. Terms and conditions apply.